Good job they didn't record that, actually.
Yeah. Any others?
Any others? No. Well, there's about 33 of them, I think, about in all, so. I wonder, did you first hear your favourite parable at Sunday school? A nice, easy to understand story, a message of how to be good. Well, today's reading says that parables are far from nice. They cause disagreement. They're divisive. They're puzzling. They're judgmental. But what is a parable? Is it a fable like Aesop's fable? You know, the ant and the grasshopper? Or is it more like a folklore or a myth? Like the Just So stories, how did the camel get its hump? Parables are different to these stories in that parables, they involve real life situations where the characters are behaving naturally and objects have their normal use. Loaves are loaves, lamps are lamps. They don't represent anything deeper. They teach us spiritual lessons, not just common sense or morals. They demand some sort of response from us. What do we think? And they don't contradict each other, and they don't contradict the teaching of Jesus. You may have heard the expression that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But maybe we should be careful about treating parables as safe stories, merely just to help our understanding. It's reported that P.G. Wodehouse wrote, "A parable is one of those stories in the Bible which sounds like a pleasant yarn, but keeps something up its sleeve, which pops up and knocks you flat." Another author writes about how a parable can startle us and make us sit up and take notice. He puts it, "It leaves the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought." The word parable literally means to cast something parallel. Jesus' parables describe spiritual truths by comparing them with simple, everyday events from ordinary life. While not true in every case, it's generally felt that there's one central point to be taken from each parable. And we shouldn't read too much into the details. And here, in this passage, Jesus tells the disciples the reason for speaking to the people in parables. In verse 10 he says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Parables are divisive. And here is the division: us and them. The insiders and the outsiders. Some are prepared to think about the parable and apply it to their situation. Others won't even consider that it's worth thinking about. They won't turn away from putting themselves first, from indulging in selfish actions. Or maybe they do understand it, but just reject it. When Jesus spoke in parables, he explained them only to his disciples, those who were seeking answers. But those who rejected his message were left in their spiritual blindness to wonder as to his meaning. He made a clear distinction between those who had been given ears to hear and those who persisted in unbelief, hearing but never actually understanding. And so it is that this parable deals with the way that people respond to the word of God. The parable explains the different responses which people have to the gospel. And as it is often said by people, this parable should be called the parable of the soils. Four soils, four types of people, four responses. First, we have the hardened soil, the path. Here are those whose hearts have never been open to the gospel, who have never responded positively to Christ. The gospel makes no impression on them at all. The devil immediately snatches the gospel from their hearts so that there's no response, no new birth, no fruit. Then there's the shallow soil, the rock. Here are those who positively, even joyfully, respond to the Lord's teaching, but don't fully understand its implications. Perhaps they think it is a gospel which promises only good times, blessing, happiness. Perhaps there have been some selective thinking and hearing only the good and pleasant things, rather than hearing of the costs involved in being a disciple. The thorny soil represents those who have a more complete grasp of the cost of discipleship, but who have never rid themselves of the cares of the world. Their concerns for money, for pleasure, outgrow seeking the kingdom of God. Their priorities are reversed. It's not that the people represented by the thorny soil do not understand the cost of discipleship, but they are not willing to pay the price. It's not lack of knowledge which causes them to stumble, but lack of commitment, lack of dedication. And then the good soil represents all those whose hearts are prepared for the gospel, whose lives are uncluttered with other interests. In the fourth soil, the word not only brings forth life, but the plant comes to maturity and bears fruit. And that is the goal of all discipleship. The disciples did accept the truth from Jesus. And our passage today makes it clear that that truth cannot be hidden. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Jesus was not revealing his secrets to his disciples so that they could keep it to themselves, but to share them with other people. As their understanding deepened, they would be given more and more. Verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. If we come expecting to hear words of eternal life, if we come with a desire to understand and to grow, then Jesus will meet our thirst, and he will not hold anything back from us. So the parable is a blessing to those who have willing ears, but to those with dull hearts and ears that are slow to hear, the parable is also an instrument of judgment. Those with willing ears not only heard the Lord's teaching, they took it to heart. They left everything to follow Jesus. And those who did not possess the truth, maybe they heard it, but they did not apply it. And Jesus is teaching that the one who possesses his teaching is the one who acts on it, who makes it their own, and with perseverance will mature and bear fruit. To those who use the truth, more is given. To those who only hear it, even what they appear to possess is taken away. It will have done them no good at all. Verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. At the beginning of the chapter, Luke writes about those who left everything to follow Jesus, not just the 12, but also many women. Luke mentions three by name: Mary, Joanna, and Susanna. And we're told that they had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. We're told specifically that Jesus had cast out seven demons from Mary. Jesus had miraculously delivered them from conditions from which there was no human solution. They went with Jesus to be of help to him as they had experienced his help. And Luke wants us to know that these women were not just clingers on, they were active contributors to the proclamation of the gospel. Second part of verse 3, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Being with Christ, these women were, like him, sensitive to needs and to meeting these needs. Humanly speaking, this campaign could not have continued without their support. They helped out in practical ways. They were a vital part of the team which proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. By their actions, they would have been a strong witness to those around them. Placing the example of these women right after the story of the woman that we heard about last week, who loved so much because she had been forgiven so much, Luke could be making the point that these women had been healed of evil spirits and various sicknesses, and so they now served Jesus out of love and gratitude. Joanna was willing to give up the comforts of palace life and endure the hardships of following Jesus on his travels because of what he had done for her. God's grace, as shown to us at the cross of Christ, is always the most important motive to serve him with all our life. And we know that these women who are mentioned by Luke are the same women mentioned by Matthew and Mark as well. They continue to follow Jesus, not only to Galilee, but also on to Jerusalem. They are the women who stood by our Lord at the cross. They were the first to come to the empty tomb. What a marvelous and wonderful group of women they were. And what a tribute Luke gives to them. These were faithful women, faithful in meeting the needs of our Lord and the wider group, faithful in staying with him, even in danger, faithful even after his death. Throughout Luke's gospel, we see the elevated position Jesus accorded to women. Luke shows the unique way God used Elizabeth, the mother of John, Mary, the mother of Jesus. He shows the privilege of the godly Anna, who held Jesus in the temple. And then there is a close relationship between Jesus and Martha and Mary. All the Gospels record the faithfulness of the women during the crucifixion and their privilege as the first witnesses of the resurrection. The prevailing Jewish attitude towards women was less than ideal. The rabbis refused to teach women and restricted them to the outer court in the temple, along with the Gentiles. The rabbis didn't regard the testimony of women in a court of law. But Jesus showed personal concern and respect for the women. He healed them, forgave them, taught them, and accepted their ministry on his behalf. And when you view all this in the light of that culture, Jesus' treatment of women was nothing short of radical. Amen. Our Father, we do thank you for the parables. We thank you that Jesus used them just to highlight those truths to those who would understand, so that those who were in tune with him could see what he was talking about and how that could make a difference to their lives. And Lord, we do thank you for all those who followed Jesus' teaching. Thank you for those who went with him as he walked around the country and went on to face his death. And we pray too that we would also walk with Jesus through this time of Lent. Help us to get some fresh idea of all that that meant to Jesus, to those around him, and how it makes so much difference to us today. So be with us on our journey, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.